Happy Sabbath, everybody. How's your heart today?
Good.
Good? Okay. I hope so. I hope it's still good after we get done, after we examine our hearts today. Okay. What's the intent of your heart? Is it selfish, self-centered, or selfless and about others? God looks at the intent of our hearts. And if Jesus is in our hearts, we should reflect his love. God's heart is all about love. We're going to look at three hearts this morning. And it's interesting to me how, you know, as kids growing up, we learn separate stories out of the Bible. We don't think about those stories or those people interacting. And those people actually interacted with one another. And I, as Kim says, I appreciate the connecting of the dots, and I always love the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey used to tell about the rest of the story. I like the rest of the story. We're going to learn this morning about Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and Dorcas, or Tabitha was her name also. We don't have to be perfect for God to use us. Thank the Lord, we don't have to be. And these people were not perfect. We all have the same human condition. So here we are. Let's turn to John chapter 19, everybody, verses 38 to 40. We're going to read. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. I guess I hadn't really paid much attention to the fact that Nicodemus had actually helped Joseph of Arimathea. Had you ever really thought about that? They were both members of the Sanhedrin, so they knew each other. And the Sanhedrin, of course, is the ruling body of the Israelites. In Mark 15, verses 43 in the King James Version, it says that Joseph was a counselor. It was said of him that he was a good and just man. He had a good disposition inside and was kind to and just on the outside to others. So that made him a good counselor. He was also a secret disciple of Jesus. He respected Jesus a lot. And it says in John 19:38, which we just read, that he feared the Jews. Ah, there it is. There's his weak spot. He feared the Jews. He was afraid. But he was also a work in progress, just like we are. It is believed that Joseph did not take part in Jesus' trial. But after Jesus' death, he did go and ask for Jesus' body. And it's very probable that he had to purchase Jesus' body from the Romans because their practice was to take the bodies off the crosses and throw them into the garbage pile that was outside of the city. So Joseph had to go and ask Pilate for Jesus' body. So Joseph gave his tomb to put Jesus' body in. Now, if you recall, this was a brand new tomb. And we learned in the Ray Vanderland series on the death and resurrection of Christ, that only family members can be buried in a tomb. The Jews were very specific mixing things. You couldn't mix family members. You couldn't mix pots. You couldn't. Everything had its place. And the same with burial. You could not put anyone but a family member in a tomb. So by Joseph giving his tomb to Jesus, it could never be used again by anyone. And the thing of it is, we also learned that it took a year's wage to build that tomb. So this was a huge gift that Joseph was giving to Jesus. And Joseph wasn't, he was a wealthy man. So this was a gigantic gift that Joseph gave to Jesus. God looks at the intent of our hearts. At the intent. Now Nicodemus also was a man who respected and believed in Jesus quietly. There had been a long drought of holy in Israel up to the time of Jesus. And what caught Nicodemus about Jesus was that he spoke with the authority of God. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And so we have the story of Nicodemus going to Jesus at night. And it was believed. Now, we were always told that he went at night because he was blah, 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 blah. Well, chances are that wasn't the story because it says nothing about Nicodemus being afraid. It's believed that Nicodemus went to Jesus at night because he was busy. Jesus was preaching and teaching during the day. And Nicodemus, he was a teacher. So in the evening time, they both had time. It was quiet. They could sit and visit without being interrupted. Now this is really cool. I learned that the name Nicodemus means innocent blood. Think about it. Nicodemus came to realize that his salvation was dependent on the shedding of innocent blood. Let's turn to John 3, 14 to 16. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Say the rest of me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have, but have everlasting life. You know, the reason he equated Jesus being lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, the story behind that was the Israelites had disobeyed God one more time, and he was so furious with them that he sent serpents to bite them and kill them. And people were dying left and right. And the people were hollering at Moses, "Save us, save us." So Moses once again prayed to God to please have mercy on the Israelites. So God said, "Take a serpent, mount it on a stick, hold it up. Whoever looks at it will be saved." What was Jesus? What happened to Jesus? He was lifted on a stake. He was lifted on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved. That's the connection there between Moses lifting the snake in the desert to Jesus, the Son of Man, being lifted up. So that whole conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus changed Nicodemus' life. He was never, ever the same again. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 7. Just flip over a few pages. 45 to 52. And we read, "Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, 'Why didn't you bring him in?' 'Well, no one ever spoke the way this man does,' the guards declared. 'You mean he has deceived you also?' the Pharisees retorted. 'Has any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them.' Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, 'Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he is doing?' And they replied to him, 'Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee.'" Nicodemus stood up for Jesus in the Sanhedrin over a point of order. Over a point of order. So even though Nicodemus didn't give away his true feelings about his newfound faith, his belief in Jesus, he made an attempt to defend him. There it is. His fear to reveal his true feelings and the whole truth that he believed in Jesus. But it's likely that Nicodemus wasn't present either when the vote came down to kill Jesus. Those two men were probably absent. So finally, Nicodemus openly joined Joseph of Arimathea to get Jesus' body and lovingly care for it. Think about it. 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe were used in the burial procedure. Can you imagine these men having to, I'm sure they had help. They had to have had help. These were the similar weights and amounts of spices that were used to bury royalty. Is that not cool? Jesus was royalty. Jesus is royalty. And he was treated such. They both overcame their fear and laid their hearts out there and did the right thing. God knew their hearts. He knew what was in there. Now we're going to move on to Dorcas. She was also a woman of means. She lived in the seaport town of Joppa along the Mediterranean Sea. There were a lot of widows and orphans that lived there because their men were sailors. And the ships would often wreck in the storms of the Mediterranean. The seas in the Mediterranean can boil up really fast and storms come and can be very violent. And it's recorded in history that men's bodies would wash up on the shore of the city of Joppa. And the people were so poor that they would go down and take the clothes off the people, or they'd take the rags off the beach and they would use the rags to clothe themselves in. So Dorcas saw this day in and day out and knew that there was such a huge need in her community for someone to make these people clothing. And so that's what she did. She set to work making clothes for these people and for the widows and the orphans. And they loved her. They loved her so much. She wanted to serve however she could. But one day, Dorcas got sick and Dorcas died. And the people were crushed because they didn't know what they were going to do. So they sent Peter, who was in a town or so away, and he came And he said, "Don't you worry." He went in and he prayed for her, and she was raised from the dead. God brought her back to life so that she could continue to serve him. She was willing to give it all, even unto death, for what God wanted her to do. Now imagine, just imagine, the needs met there. Not only was Dorcas brought back to life, people witnessed the resurrection power of the Savior. The people that came to Jesus, the people that was served by Dorcas, the whole package was right there, right in front of their very eyes. I just think that is so awesome, because she was willing to serve even unto death. These are only three examples out of the Bible of people who were willing to give everything they had. There's way more. But these people whose hearts may have been weak at first, over time grew fearless. And I'm sure we don't know exactly. There's stories about Joseph of Arimathea going off into Europe later on. But there's not real true facts about it. I'm not going to call it hearsay. What do you call that? Tradition, I guess. Yeah. But I'm sure these men and these people went on to serve God wherever he told them to go. But they grew fearless, I'm sure. And in Dorcas's case, she took compassion on everybody that came to her door and lovingly cared for them. God takes us where we are. Thank you, Jesus, that he does. He is willing to work with us and grow us where we're at, if we choose to let him. It's a big if we choose to let him. We can't hide our hearts and our thoughts from God. We can't do it, because he knows everything about us, inside and out. He's the only one that does. He knows your true feelings. He knows your true heart. He knows your true intent. Because each and every one of you were meant to be here on this earth for a reason. And he has a purpose for you. For each of us, he has a purpose for us. And he wants you to know how much he loves you and adores you. He wants to draw you into him. As we were singing in the songs this morning, and here in Darwin's song, he wants you to sit on his lap. So sit on his lap and listen.